To order, will the Chief Clerk...
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Carson.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Cohey.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Dirks.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Esquivel.
Here.
Gilmore.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Hales.
Here.
Hallinan. Hammonds.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey. Harvey.
Here.
Illaway.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Jorgensen.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Lockhart. Lockhart excused. Lubno.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
McComey.
Here.
Mercer.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Millen.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Peasley. Peterson, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker. 59 present, 1 excused.
The prayer today is given by Roger Arand, representing North Christian Church in Cheyenne.
Would you join me as we pray? God and Father, we come before you because you are God, and we give thanks to you for the confidence that we have that you're here with us today. You have created this day and given it to us, therefore we will rejoice in it. Being aware that we can never have this day back again, it is my prayer that you cause us all to get from it and to give to it the very best that we have. So that at the end of this day, we can look back over it and know that it has not been a day that has been wasted. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege of praying for these folks here today, knowing that they are working to accomplish things that will benefit all the people in Wyoming. I ask, Lord, for your direction and your guidance for them, that they would seek your leading and your guiding in everything that they do today, whether it's something great or something that is not, that through their lives the demonstration of who you are would be manifest. I pray, Lord, that in this day that your Spirit would work in such a way that it would lead these folks into a closer walk with you and with each other. And because of that, the decisions that are going to be made today, or the groundwork of those yet to be made, will be those that will produce the harmony that is necessary for good things to happen both for this time and for the time to come. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Roger. See you tomorrow.
All right.
Thanks, Bill.
Good day.
You too.
The doctor of the day is Dr. Tom Radosevich from Casper, who had the good sense to marry a girl from Cody. And the nurse of the day is Mary Kay Getter from the Wyoming State Board of Nursing. Representative Throne, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's not very often that I can persuade a member of my family to join us over here. Today our honorary page is my son, Tarver Boyce. He's into reptiles, and he'll tell you a hunting story or two if you ask. So, thank you.
Welcome, Tarver. It's nice to have you here today. Mr. Speaker, pro tem, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today we have some people here from Devon Energy, ambassadors from their field offices in Gillette, Worland, Bags, and Riverton. Also, we have Devon people here all the way from Oklahoma City, and I'd just like to thank them for making the investment here in Wyoming and helping our economy and our revenues for the state. And give them a welcome, please.
Welcome to the House, Devon. Thank you. Representative Esquivel, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the North Balcony, we have Mrs. Fertig and members of the Cheyenne Attention Home.
Welcome to the House. It's nice to have you here this morning. Madam Minority Caucus Leader, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I actually have two people that I wanted to introduce today. First of all, I wanted to introduce a young man that lives in my district. He was reading the paper. This is a 9-year-old boy. He was reading the paper and saw the picture of Representative Stubson's son doing page for the day, and his mother called to ask if he could do that, and really you need to be a family member to be able to do that, but I asked him to, you know, if you're interested, please come visit us. And him and his mother came today. So this is Jake Wells. He's 9. He goes to Davis Elementary, and his mother, Alice.
Jake, you're going to have to get your mother to run for the legislature, and then you can be a page. Thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the other person I wanted to introduce is someone, one of our colleagues that I worked with in the last 2 years, who's no longer with us. His wife became just a friend of mine on some of the trips that we took, and she's just the sweetest person, and they most recently moved to Cheyenne. And so please welcome Berlinda White. She's back there also.
Welcome, Berlinda. Nice to see you again. Representative Brown, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the South Balcony, we have Cheryl Burnett and a group of pre-law students from Laramie who are here today to see a Supreme Court argument and watch the legislature in action. Would you welcome them, please, to the House? They moved.
Welcome to the House. Enjoy yourself today. Representative Chairman Illaway, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning. To remind you that Alex's annual legislative reception is tonight out at the Holiday Inn from 6 to 8. I know that that's during the time of the community college folks, but try to stop by the Holiday Inn and then go on out and have dinner with the community college folks. The second thing, Mr. Speaker, I would be remiss, since my wife works for the Cheyenne Symphony, to continue to tell you that there are tickets available for Saturday night's performance. It begins at 7:30 at the Cheyenne Civic Center. It's an evening of Stravinsky and Shostakovich. If you would like to purchase tickets, why, I do have the telephone number of the office, and they would be glad to sell them to you.
Representative Hammonds, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You stand up. I am. I want to thank everyone on the floor for already cheering from my fine corporate neighbors and awesome people from Worland that work for Devon Energy. But there are a couple of other people from Washakie County that are in the balcony. On the west, we have Chairman of the Washakie County Commissioners, Mr. Ron Harvey. And on the south, we have Mr. Don Bryant, who happens to be the chairman of the Worland School Board, in addition to serving on Wyoming's Community College Commission, and he is the National Beekeeper of the Year.
Yeah.
We're abuzz to have you here, Don. And thank you, Ron, for being here. Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 18th has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Moniz, Representative Barbudo.
Messages from the Senate.
Message number 259, corrected copy. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 67, Tobacco Excise Tax. The bills as below passed on third reading by the vote indicated. Ayes 20, noes 10. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 270, Mr. Speaker, concurrence passed. The Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 110, designated real estate agents. Ayes 24, noes 5. Excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 14, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Hammonds, Jorgensen, Pedersen, Phillips, Stewart, excused, Harshman, signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom is referred Senate File 35, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Connolly, Kraft, Dirks, Yagi, Lubno, McKim, McComey, Teeters. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 47, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Connolly, Kraft, Dirks, Yagi, Lubno, McKim, McComey. No, Brechtel, Teeters. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate Joint Resolution 4, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Edmonds, Gilmore, Moniz, Semlek, Teeters, Wallace, Wanitzer, Dan. No, Carson. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 106, engrossed. Respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Bonner, Davison, Escobel, Goggles, Hallinan, Harvey, Landon, Millen, Shepperson. Signed, Representative Landon, Chairman.
Are there any re-referrals? Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to re-refer Senate File 47, engrossed, Hathaway Student Scholarship Program Administration, to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. It has some money in it.
Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to re-refer Senate File 106 to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 6.
Senate File 6, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to the Wyoming Arts Council revisions.
Senate File 6 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 16.
Senate File 16, introduced by Senator Burns, an act relating to state symbols regarding the state butterfly.
Senate File 16 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 38.
Senate File 38, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to the Federal Real ID Act compliance.
Senate File 38 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 59.
Senate File 59, introduced by the Transportation Committee, an act relating to road closure regarding highways.
Senate File 59 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 68.
Senate File 68, introduced by the Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects, omnibus water bill construction.
Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move second reading amendment number one to Senate File 68. This is a simple technical correction, and I would urge your support. Thank you.
Excuse me, Representative Madden, go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you look on the original bill or the engrossed bill on page 2, line 36, the word credited was incorrect. It should have been the word created. Probably a spell-checking problem.
Chairman Semlich, for your first time.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. At just about the time we thought no one read these bills, we found out that someone does, and we credit the sharp eyes of our floor economist to pick that up. So this is a needed amendment, and we ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else for their first time? For your second time, we are voting on second reading amendment number one to Senate File 68. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number one has passed. Senate File 68 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 85.
Senate File 85, introduced by Senator Larson, an act relating to cooperative electric utilities rate regulation.
Senate File 85 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 130.
Senate File 130, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to child abuse penalties.
Senate File 130 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate Joint Resolution 5.
Senate Joint Resolution number 5, introduced by Senator Bebout, and Joint Resolution requesting Congress to preserve the exemption of hydraulic fracturing in the Safe Drinking Water Act and to not pass future legislation which would remove the exemption.
Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move amendment number one to second reading of Senate Joint Resolution number 5. After listening to yesterday's debate, which I found fascinating in terms of the education we all received about this this practice, which has been going in our state for decades, and the idea that there are new regulations that might impede what we consider to be normal practices, I think the one thing that we can all agree on, and what I heard over and over and over, is that Wyoming cares very deeply about our groundwater and its quality, and that we have existing laws that take care of that, and that we expect our laws to take care of this issue in our state. And for that reason, I thought that the resolution should reflect what is common practice in Wyoming. And so what you will find is that the amendment I am proposing would be inserted on page 3 after line 22. And what you will see is that what it says is that whereas the Wyoming Department of Environmental Quality and Wyoming Oil and Gas Conservation Commission provide oversight of operations which could damage groundwater, and whereas Wyoming promotes its policy of maintaining control over its water resources by enforcing the extensive groundwater protections provided by Wyoming law. And so all this does is clarify that not only are we requesting those in Washington, D.C. to be cognizant of what is a common practice in our state, that we also take our groundwater very seriously with our existing law, and that would be reflected in the resolution. And for that reason, I would ask your concurrence in advocating of the proposed amendment.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, I think it does strengthen the resolution and provides the other side of the coin that we were discussing yesterday.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? We are voting on second reading amendment number one to Senate Joint Resolution 5. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Second reading, amendment number one has passed. Senate Joint Resolution 5, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage consent list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move consideration of third reading consent list consisting of Senate files 517, 32, 46, 53, 62, 95, 103, 111, 125, 132, and 137.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Senate File 95 is on the regular list, on my list.
It was going to be removed, was my understanding, so that's
okay.
Correct.
Thank you. Representative Patton, would anyone like to remove a bill from the consent list? Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to lay back for one day Senate File 62 and Senate File 95.
Absent objection. It is ordered that Senate File 62, and excuse me, Representative Zwanitzer.
Mr. Speaker, can I object to that, please, and have a vote? A vote.
Representative Patton, would you please make the motion that the bills first be removed from the consent list?
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I do move that they be removed from the consent list.
Great. Any objection? House bills, or Senate File 62 and Senate File 95 have been removed from the consent list. The motion we're now considering is whether Senate File 62 and 95 will be laid back. There has been an objection. It is not debatable, and the motion needs a majority to pass. Excuse me, Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, just a clarification. Shouldn't those be considered separately?
Excuse me, Representative Dan Zwanitzer, would you please clarify your motion? Is it on both of the bills or one of the bills?
Mr. Speaker, my motion would be on Senate File 62 to be heard today. 95 is fine with me to be pushed back a day.
Representative Patton, your motion was on both bills, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
I understand it's not debatable, but there are amendments being prepared for both bills.
I'll take that as a point of order. We are voting on the motion not to lay back Senate File 62. An aye vote is to continue working the bill today on third reading, and no vote is to lay it back consistent with Representative Patton's motion. Will the Chief Clerk...
Mr. Speaker?
Representative Patton?
Point of order. It was my understanding and the rules of procedure that the positive motion is the one that takes priority over a negative.
So where does that lead you then, Representative Patton, that the negative motion cannot be considered?
Yes, sir. Exactly.
It would be the chair's ruling that is not the chair's understanding of the rules, but if you would like us to have a rules committee meeting, we can certainly discuss that.
Mr. Speaker, the last time I did this, it was 30 minutes, and I, in the interest of time, I go ahead and vote on the negative side.
It's up to you, Representative Patton, so you would not call for a rules committee. Okay, we'll go ahead and have the roll call then. An aye vote is to sustain the motion and to hear Senate File 62 today on third reading. Will the Assistant Chief Clerk please, or the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson. Bagby. Barbudo. Berger. Blake. Bonner. Brechtel. Brown. Buchanan. Byrd. Kennedy. Carson. Childers. Cohey. Connolly. Kraft. Davison. Dirks. Edmonds. Esquibel. Gilmore. Gingery. Goggles. Hales. Hallinan. Hammonds. Harshman. Harvey. Illaway. Yagi. Jorgensen. Jorgensen. Landon. Lockhart excused. Lubno. Madden. McKim. McComey. Mercer. Meyer. Miller. Millen. Moniz. Patton. Peasley. Pedersen. Peterson. Philp. Korberg. Roscoe. Simlick. Shepperson. Steward. Stubson. Teeters. Thompson. Throne. Wallace. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 31 ayes, 28 noes, 1 excused.
The motion is carried. Senate File 62 will be placed at the end of the third reading regular list, along with, it'll be right above, well, we'll put it at the bottom of the third reading regular list. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It also appears that Senate File 103 that is on the consent list has an amendment. Must be coming out right now. So I would move that be removed from the consent list as well.
Thank you. So the order of the regular list will be 75, 95, 103, and 62. Will the reading clerk please read the consent list through the enacting clause?
Senate File 5 introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to state parks and cultural resources regarding South Pass City being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 17 introduced by the Mental Health Committee, an act relating to mental health and substance abuse services and appropriations being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 32 introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to livestock, Wyoming Livestock Health and Emergency Disease Program being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 46 introduced by the School Facilities Committee, an act relating to school buildings regarding facility lease limitations being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 53 introduced by Senator Jennings, an act relating to taxation and revenue regarding property tax deferral program being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 111 introduced by Senator Schiffer, an act relating to employee retirement first responder retirement contributions being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 125 introduced by the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to the administration of government regarding state employee compensation being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 132 introduced by Senator Scott, an act relating to the Board of Embalming membership being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. Senate File 137 introduced by Senator Massey, an act relating to public health and safety, health care rehabilitation facility being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Patton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that House Senate File number 95 BP be placed on the regular third reading list.
Today.
Today.
Senate File 95 was laid back absent objection. If there is no objection to placing it back on the third reading regular list file, is there any objection? It is so ordered. So the third reading regular list order is Senate File 75, Senate File 95, Senate File 103, and Senate File 62. Would the Chief Clerk please, excuse me. House Bills, excuse me, Senate Files 5, 17, 32, 46, 53, 111, 125, 132, and 137, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bills pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Gilmore,
Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart excused, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlich,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 5, are there any changes? Brechtel, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 17, are there any changes? Shepperson, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Mercer, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dave, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Jorgensen, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Stubson, aye to no. Cohey, aye to no. Semlich, aye to no. Roscoe, aye to no. Wallace, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 45 ayes, 14 noes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 32, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Jorgensen, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 1 no, 1 excused. As to Senate File 46, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 53, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 111, are there any changes? Shepperson, aye to no. Jorgensen, aye to no. Peasley, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Philp, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Mercer, aye to no. Hallinan, aye to no. Hales, aye to no. Anderson, aye to no. Stewart, aye to no. Semlich, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dave, aye, to no. Connolly, aye, to no. Zwanitzer Dan, aye, to no. Buchanan, aye, to no. Teeters, aye, to no. Korberg, aye, to no. Hammonds, aye, to no. Gilmore, aye, to no. Roscoe, aye, to no. Gingery, aye, to no. Landon, aye, to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 35 ayes, 24 noes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 125, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Madden? Aye to no. Brechtel? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 2 noes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 132, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused. As to Senate File 137, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 excused.
Senate Files 5, 17, 32, 46, 53, 111, 125, 132, and 137. Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, these bills have passed the House. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's not often we get folks from Pavilion down here, but we have some folks back in the West Gallery. Would they please stand up? Jeff Locker, John Fenton, and Lewis Meeks, please welcome them to the People's House.
Welcome to the House, gentlemen. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 75. There is no amendment to this bill, but it requires a two-thirds vote.
Senate File 75, introduced by the Mineral Committee, an act relating to economic development account, to be enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 75, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
no.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
no.
Landon,
no.
Lockhart excused, Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
No.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Landon. No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 53 ayes, 6 noes, 1 excused.
Senate File 75, having received the two-thirds vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 75 has passed the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 95.
Senate File 95, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to insurance medical necessity review procedures, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File number 95, and I request your favorable consideration of it. I'll preface this by saying I hate these long amendments on third reading. I kind of wish this bill had come up in the Labor Committee. I could have gotten my shot at it there, and I wouldn't be bothering you on third reading. And I finally got around to working on this in my schedule. I would refer you to the amendment, the top. I'll just go through this item by item. On line 2 of the amendment, it's from page 8, line 7. And the words that are in the bill are that the medical services as amended, the provision of or payment for medical services, procedures, or supplies requested by the claimant reasonably appears to be. And I would change that with this amendment to from appears to be to is covered. That makes it clear what we're talking about, and I think that is a better way for us to address this issue. Something is covered. Anybody can say that it appears to be, but the clear words of the contract that is between the insured and the insurer should be sufficient. Is it covered or is it not covered? Appears to be, I think, is a word that adds to confusion. Then the second item on line 7 of the amendment, page 16, line 15. Discussing the issue of medical necessity. Medical necessity means, under line 14, we'll start reading there, a medical service, procedure, or supply provided for the purpose of preventing. And preventing, I'll give a little bit more discussion of that. Preventing, a lot of people have confusion about what preventing is. Is preventing something that you do to prevent? Is it something, a screening test that you do to diagnose and then possibly prevent? I think that wording opens you up to a lot of problems with the contract that the insured has with the insurer. The person who says that, well, this procedure or this thing should be done just to prevent, for instance, a colonoscopy, for instance. A lot of policies include, say, $1,000 for preventive or for screening tests. But by having it written this way, who are we to say whether that is going to cancel that out? You make a contract, you buy a contract, you say what's covered. But if this is in there, I think that raises a question of things that are not covered that can be claimed to be covered.
Then on the next part of it would be on line page 17, line 7 through 11. And I think this one here is a pretty clear need for some. That one just adds, it puts an and in there and moves the and down. On page 17, line 11, to insert. One of the, to insert that it is not for cosmetic purposes, unrelated to illness, disease, or injury. Probably one of the fastest growing areas, the biggest money maker out there in the medical field is cosmetic surgery. And the way the bill is written, if you look on a different part of the medical necessity issue, is medically appropriate for symptoms. And symptoms could include mental distress, upset, anger, whatever, because they don't have the facial appearance that they'd like to have. So I think that's another loophole that needs to be closed. We don't need to be requiring the insurance companies around the state to cover cosmetic treatment, cosmetic surgery, unless it is related to illness, disease, or injury. And then the last two issues are on the last page or so of this bill, and they include the exclusion by saying that if something is a medical journal, if something is in a medical journal, then it can be said to be a medical necessity, according to the bill. I can tell you that from reviewing, I look at a lot of medical journals in my field, and there you can find a medical journal that says X is good. You can find also a medical journal that says X is not good. So let's have a little bit higher standard of what is a medical necessity than the citation of a single medical journal. So, and now I'll give a reason why I think this is necessary to have this amendment. Okay? The legislature is the referee in a lot of issues. Most of the things that we do, we're a referee. We're a referee between the insured and the insurer and the buyer of insurance. Insurance is a pool of money that is paid for by the people that buy it, buy the insurance for their employees or for themselves. Being an employer myself, and I don't know how many of you all are employers, but I employ about, my group employs about 15 people, 15 or 20. We buy insurance for those people. What that insurance costs is a major factor in the profitability of small business in this state. Large business, the big box businesses, the big nationwide businesses, to my knowledge, and I can be corrected on this, I don't think this bill will affect them. This bill is going to affect small business, businesses like mine. And there isn't a huge margin in a lot of small business. We're in a tough economy right now. So this bill, though it has a lot of good things in it, we don't want to go and throw the baby out with the bathwater by making it too expensive for business to be able to afford to buy insurance for their employees. So that's my reason. And I would state anecdotally, and it's not in the fiscal note, I don't think, but I've heard discussion of this, that this could cost the state between $2 and $10 million, this bill. So it's a good bill. It has a lot of good items in it. But let's make it tight, and let's make it so that it doesn't get out of hand and cost our businesses around the state, cost the people who would be insured to lose their insurance. And I think this is a small effort in an effort to try to accomplish that goal. So thank you, Mr. Speaker, Speaker Pro Tem now, and I stand for any questions.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I guess my first comment was just on that last comment on the $2 to $10 million. In committee, we were told by the insurance companies One of the reasons they were arguing actually that they already do all this and that this was just simply codifying it, that they already do a lot of external review. So I'm not sure where the 2 to 10 million came from, because it didn't sound like that was even something the insurance company was saying, but maybe I missed that. My major concern is on page 16, line 15, the delete preventing. So a medical service, procedure, or supply provided for the purpose of preventing, diagnosing, or treating an illness, injury, or disease. If there is a drug out there that could prevent you, let's say you have a high genetic disposition to something, if there's some drug that's out there or some treatment, I certainly would hope we would not prevent the person from getting that preventive provision. So I'd urge you not to delete the word preventing. On the issue on cosmetic purposes, this is an area where the insurance companies have done quite well in denying people, and they use this provision quite regularly. Let me give some examples. Occasionally you'll have a person who is extremely obese, and they'll go and have the, and I don't know what the correct medical procedure is called, but they essentially staple their stomach. And this person loses a massive amounts of weight. They then have this, what happens actually is you actually have all this extra skin, a lot of extra skin. They need to go in and have that skin removed. And the insurance company will come back and say, no, that's a cosmetic procedure unrelated to your obesity. And so then this person who has gone through this procedure is now unable to get that, and it's an expensive procedure. Or on the other hand, and this is more of one of the examples I think given in committee, was some women who know they're genetically predisposed to getting breast cancer, and what they've done is gone and gotten a mastectomy. Then they go in, and maybe the insurance company actually pays for that part because they agree, yes, it appears you're highly genetically predisposed for this. But then they go back in to get breast reconstruction, and the court and the insurance company says, no, that's cosmetic. We're not going to pay for that. Again, in my mind, it's related to the illness, but in many cases, the insurance companies have argued this issue of cosmetic, whether or not it's related or unrelated. I think we're opening the door to allow the insurance companies to play some games here if this gets put in there, and I would urge you to vote no on this amendment.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move to divide the amendment. Division 1 would be lines 1 through 7 and lines 18 through 27, and Division 2 would be line 8 through 17.
Okay, I believe that's divisible. And which would you want to consider first?
Mr. Chairman, actually, if we can consider them in reverse order, I guess, Division 2 first. And I can understand the...
Okay, we're on Division 2, which is 8 through 17.
8 through 17. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And ambiguous to Division 2, I can see both sides of the argument on that, so I guess I'd leave it to the body's pleasure on Division 2.
Okay. Sure. Representative Helen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Of course, I'm for both divisions, but I would just add a few comments. One of the issues that was brought up by one of the speakers was the issue of gastric bypass. And most insurers do require... And you could say that you're preventing diabetes by gastric bypass, because a certain percentage of people that are heavy, they're going to develop diabetes. On the other hand, when an insurance company, most all of them, and most physicians, require that a person that's going to get that they're going to go through various procedures before that. Before this, if this bill is passed, with this prevention category in it. It has the potential to prevent the insurance companies from requiring those procedures and having litigation. And litigation really is one of the main reasons to make this, put this amendment in place. The estimates are, and that's another anecdotal thing, and I can't give you a percentage on that, but I think by leaving these loopholes in the bill, we're going to increase the amount of litigation and the cost of these review panels. I mean, it's not a minimal amount. It's going to have a cost. It's going to be a major cost. And the cost that I said, mentioning $2 to $10 million, that was the cost of the state of Wyoming for their health insurance that they provide for the state of Wyoming's employees. And that's an estimate that I heard from one of the people that should know. So the litigation costs, the increase in the amount of bureaucracy, that detracts from the amount of money in the pool. The pool is for injured people, for people who are disabled. Do we want to spend that money on litigation costs? Do we want to spend it on bureaucracy? Or do we want to spend it on needed medical services? So that's the reason for the amendment. If I don't have any, I guess that's, I'll call the question if there are no further questions.
Okay, question being called. Well, I'm sorry, we've already let the... Okay. Okay, Representative Carson. Conley, sorry. Okay. Representative Conley, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Again, I've been called worse than Representative Carson. I'm on it again. On and against the amendment, I see this language as unnecessary and confusing. If we look at the bill, we'll see that Roman numeral 4 says, is not primarily for the convenience of the patient, physician, or other healthcare provider. I find that language sufficient to take into account unnecessary cosmetic surgery. And what we've just heard is that there's the possibility for some very necessary, what would be considered cosmetic surgery. So again, I'm on and against the amendment. I think the language already existing in the bill would cover unnecessary procedures. Thanks.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. For the benefit of the body, the numbers, I think, being discussed in terms of what it could cost the state, and I would invite anybody who was in the committee room to correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe that number was ever really verified for the benefit of the committee. It was information that kind of came in at the last minute from the state group health insurance. I'm not saying it won't cost the state anything. I'm just saying that we really don't have clear information on that. And in terms of litigation costs, I think the clearer the policy, the less litigation, and the current form of House Bill 95 does clarify medical necessity and makes a clear definition, and that will result in less, not more, litigation. Thank you.
Okay, and we're on Division 2, lines 8 through 17. Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I guess I'll close by, since we're just talking about cosmetic purposes. And one of the examples given was somebody who had a breast operation and cosmetic surgery was required to repair the injury that was done by that surgery. I would say that the way this amendment is written on Division 2, I think it clearly includes the repair of that surgery or the damage, tissue damage that was done restoring the cosmetic appearance of the breast. It states, is not for cosmetic purposes unrelated to illness, disease, or injury. I think that we clearly cover that under this amendment. So I don't think that's a reason to vote against this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative Stubson.
I'm ready for the question, Mr. Chairman.
Calling the question on Division 2, which is lines 8 through 17 on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 95. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion passed. Okay, all those in favor, please stand. Opposed, please stand. Okay, that motion Division 2 has failed. Now we're on Division 1, which is lines 1 through 7 and lines 18 through 27. Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Rising on and against Division 1 of third reading number 1. The just to go through sort of item by item on these, I think it does significantly weaken the bill. And I can certainly appreciate the concerns of the good representative from Campbell County. There's 30 folks in my firm that we provide health insurance for, and I want to make sure that that's affordable. But I also want to make sure that when we're paying premiums that we get the benefits that we've bargained for, and I think that's what this bill does. The amendments weaken it in a couple of respects. First of all, the change to page 8, line 7 that deletes the reasonably appears to be covered language, it's important to recognize where that falls in the process. What that consideration relates to is the initial review as soon as the independent review organization gets the claim and the materials from the insurer. And so this is sort of the initial once-over that they look at the file to determine whether they need to go on and make their final determination. And so in that part of the process, it does make sense to have that lower standard of it reasonably appears to be covered. Certainly, if the external review organization is going to issue a determination that the insurance company has to pay the claim, it necessarily needs to be covered under the policy. But at this point in the process, that lower standard makes sense to move on to the more thorough review. With respect to the change in page 16, line 15, and deleting preventing, the important thing to remember about that is if you look after that that provision where it says preventing under capital A, there are four qualifying paragraphs under that. And there are times where it makes sense and it's reasonably necessary that you want to take preventative steps. In fact, sometimes that's the cheapest route to take. We don't want to discourage that, and there's certainly in Roman numerals 1 through 4 enough qualifications to ensure that any preventative measures that are ordered are reasonably related to disease and that are a good medical decision. With respect to the changes to pages 17 and 18, really, this is the policy that has been adopted thus far in Senate File 95 is that we want to leave those medical decisions up to a physician and his patient. And if a physician prescribes a given item or a given regimen of treatment and there is some support for it in the medical literature, we're going to require that that be paid for. What we don't want to do is have a little mini scientific trial every time a doctor prescribes an action for a patient. The Senate File 95 sets the boundaries wide to ensure that those decisions stay with the doctor and a patient. This narrows that, and I think it's a good policy under Senate File 95 to say, okay, if a doctor makes that determination, if it is supported by peer-reviewed medical literature, which is a standard in there right now, then it's going to be determined a medical necessity. And I would just encourage the body to leave that standard in there.
Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would encourage the body to vote for this division, and the part of the reason is just what was being discussed. We don't want to create a no-fault policy here. And if there is any medical literature, any peer-reviewed medical literature, if we go that direction and we don't have a little bit stronger basis for what we decide we're going to cover and what we decide we're not, and moving forward with some of that, we're creating some problems we don't want to create with that by saying almost anything's covered, because you can get a piece of medical literature, peer-reviewed or not, that's going to say lots and lots of different things. Every doctor has a different opinion, just like every lawyer has a different opinion. And so let's keep this amendment alive. Let's vote it in, and let's make sure that we continue to have that discussion, because it's an important discussion. So I would ask for your aye vote on this division of the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Peasley.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, would speak in favor of the amendment. And the good bringer of this, being a doctor, didn't have a chance with three lawyers speaking against him on the previous matter. So I'd like to come to his assistance on this one. I would say that my first observation, good doctor, is that most of us don't pay for our insurance, and I don't think appreciate the market drive of this and the subtleties of it. And I certainly felt ill-equipped myself, being on the Judiciary Committee, to lay judgment. I did support this bill, however, and I am concerned about the way in which the preventing phrase that you presented was characterized, and I don't think it is qualified. If you read the language of that provision at page 16 of the engrossed bill, it says a medical service for the purpose of preventing, and then says a disease, and that service is one that qualifies under these others. I think most any preventive treatment could be covered under that language. I don't think those are qualifiers as to its being a preventative one. It just characterizes what it is. I find this thing so wide open, and I feel myself totally unqualified to be laying judgment on this. And I will tell you that there was testimony, and I thought it was fairly reliable, that the chances are the cost of service will go up. I still want to support this bill. I think this enhances it, and I think it clarifies it. And I'd like to continue supporting it. I'm speaking on and for the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Pedersen.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to point out a piece in this bill that's on page 17, beginning on line 19, and some of that's been cleaned up. But one of the basic things is that you can't come up with just any piece of literature to support any finding you want to do. It says here that it has to be by a qualified review institutional board, and it goes on to further that meet the criteria of the National Institute of Health Library of Medicine for an indexing Medline. This basically is telling us that we have a standard for which that research will be able to be submitted to this, and I think that that's an important piece to include in there, that it can't just be, you know, you can, because you truly can Google anything and find two sides of it. But to have this standard put in there, I think it's important to point out. And I would urge the body to not support this division.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On and against Division 1, When I look at page 8, line 7, the change from reasonably appears to be a covered service to, and this is the independent external review that is assigned by the insurer to have this independent review. And they're being asked to determine these things on page 8, to determine whether, and under subparagraph B, the provision or payment for medical services, procedures, or supplies is requested by the claimant, reasonably appears to be a covered service, etc. And the amendment says that that should say is. Well, if it's not clear to the independent review on the new word is, you're changing the standard significantly from reasonably appears to be to clearly is. So then if the independent review organization says, we think it reasonably appears to be covered under the policy, the burden is then on the carrier, the insurance carrier, to then challenge that if they want to in court. If it says is, and the independent review organization can't clearly determine that, then the burden is on the insured to go to the to go to court, and under that arbitrary and capricious standard, say to challenge it in that manner. I prefer reasonably appears to be to the strict is. I also have a problem with deleting the word preventing, because I, in my own mind, that I'm not medically trained at all, but I could think of situations where some treatment might prevent a complication or a separate illness from one illness, and I'm not willing to simply take that word out. And I think there are other protections in the bill to cover the other portions of the bill that are addressed by the second part of Division Number 1. Thank you.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, speaking on and against the Division 1 of the amendment, the part that concerns me is this taking out the putting in this clinical evidence-based medical research part. We had a lot of testimony about this certain part, and one woman testified, here was her example. Her husband had an illness, went to her doctor here in Wyoming. He finally said to her, you know, I've done everything that I can do for your husband. You know, you need to go to a place out of state that potentially could help you. And I've heard of a place in the state south of us that has I believe it was cancer, but Cancer Institute, that is doing some trials on a new thing. And I urge you to go down and see if you qualify. So she went down with her husband, and it just happened that they were there on the same day as a guy with the same illness was being qualified, and you go through some tests, I guess, to see if they meet the criteria for these trials. And they both qualified medically. The one gentleman from the state south of us, his insurance said, sure, we'll pay for that. And so he got to go ahead and be on this trial, and he got better. The man from Wyoming, however, the insurance company said, no, we're not too sure about that procedure. You know, hasn't been all through all the clinical evidence, hasn't been pulled in, so we're going to deny you. And so they went through the long process of went to the insurance commissioner, and he had to explain, I don't have any power. And hopefully this bill will fix that. And so then they went again and again back to the insurance company. And finally, the insurance company said, oh, I guess we were wrong. I guess we'll go ahead and pay for it after all. Well, by then, a few months had gone by. And when he went back, they said, well, it's too late now. And her husband died. And but right before he died, he said to his wife, he said, you have to wonder what would have happened if the insurance company had said yes the first time we asked and not these many months later might I have survived like the gentleman that we met in the lobby? That's what this is about. This is what the difference between giving somebody a chance. If there's trials going on, let them get into those trials. Let them potentially find that ability to survive. I think this is way too high of a standard, and this essentially, in my mind, guts the bill.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I guess I hit a bee's nest or a beehive. But I guess discuss a few things. I think everybody probably has their mind pretty well made up by now. Attorneys versus doctors. I don't mind discussing these issues with the attorneys, and since I think I maybe know a little bit more about this issue than they do. So, a lot of them may know more about it than I do, but this one I know more about than they do. And this is really our last shot at this bill. It's going to be passed, more than likely. And it's got a lot of good things in it. But the people that you see, the people that were at this committee meeting, that's one group of people. The people you don't see, the ones you don't see, are the ones that are going to lose insurance because this amendment, if it's defeated, because this bill is too broad, because it allows wasteful expenditure in the medical field and a draining of the pool of insurance for injured or disabled people. Those are the people that were not at your committee. Those are the people, the small business people, who didn't even know this bill was coming up, who don't have a lobbyist. Those are the people you don't see. So I'm here to remind you about those people and say that this amendment should be passed. Now, the next issue, there's a lot of medical procedures out there. And there are some people in my profession who are not quite as scrupulous as others. Every one of you have probably had these vans that come around the community and do ultrasounds or various other things that have very little scientific support. And yet, by this bill, it's preventing disease. It's got to be, you can take it to the insurance company and say you want it paid for. So I say that you're going to have a lot more of that. And you're going to have a lot more litigation, and you're going to have a lot more bureaucracy. Adopt this amendment, and it will keep some of that, tighten the bill up, make it a better bill. So that's why I proposed it, and that's why I took your time today. And I appreciate all the comments that have been made, even if I disagree with them. And I call the question if there's no further discussion.
Anybody else for their first time? Anybody else for the second time? Question being called. And we're on division number one, which is lines 1 through 7 and lines 18 through 27. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion failed. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. Opposed, please stand. Division 1 has failed to pass third reading amendment number 1 to House or Senate File 95. Senate File 95 having received the affirmative, Senate File 5 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger. Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Bird. Bird. Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly. Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Esquivel, aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
no.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
no.
Lockhart excused, Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen, Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Horberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Steward,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Bird,
you.
Bird excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Landon, a no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 1 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 95, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of that members elected to the House, Senate File 95 has passed the House. Senate File 103.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Mr. Representative Dirks.
Requesting privilege of the floor.
Privilege of the floor.
Members of the House in the gallery watching this debate this morning, Robert Munger and the Newcastle Middle School, welcome to the House of Representatives. Good to have you here.
Welcome to the House, Representative Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, a moment of personal privilege.
Proceed.
Being not all that often, people visit us from Natrona County. Today, we have some students from Crest Hill Elementary School in Casper with their representative, Amy Sorensen. Please make them feel welcome.
And welcome to the House, all of you. Senate File 103.
Senate File 103, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to child protection, child abuse, neglect amendments, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senate File 103. Do we have an amendment? Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I move third reading amendment number one. This was brought to my attention that there was a small mistake on page one, line nine, in the summary section. It said specifying contents of petitions, and they were actually notices. And so it just switches the word petitions to notices. And I would urge your aye vote.
Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Good amendment, friendly amendment. Vote for it. Vote for the bill.
Okay. Woo. Okay. Third reading amendment number one. Calling the question. Third reading amendment number one, Senate File 103. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Third reading amendment number one has passed. Senate File 103 having been read three separate times. The question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger. Berger. Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd excused. Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
No.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
No.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart excused. Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen. Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Forberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gilmore? No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 ayes, 4 noes, 2 excused.
Senate File 103, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 103 has passed the House. Senate File 62.
Senate File 62, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to Insurance Discretionary Clause Prohibition Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 62. I'd like to try and explain it to you. I had handed out another yellow sheet that's just one page, and it is the same as the amendment, but I designated on here with brackets language that is different than from third reading amendment number 2 on this bill. So what you see in brackets is language that is not in the third reading amendment number 2. And I wanted you to be aware of that, the intent of both of these amendments, number 1 and number 2, is to insert new language into Senate File 62. And what third reading amendment number 1 does is at page 1, line 4, insert specified after in. So it would read at lines 3 and 4, prohibiting discretionary clauses in specified health insurance contracts. And then it would insert after the semicolon on line 4, the language requiring disclosure and additional provisions in insurance contracts covered by the Federal Employment Retirement Income Security Act, which is ERISA. And then page 2, line 8, line 7 and 8 would read, the purpose of this act is to assure that health insurance benefits are not subject to the Federal Employee Retirement Income Security Act. Contractually guaranteed, and it goes on with the language. Then at line 12, after due, there is an insertion of that language, that this act is also intended to assure that health insurance benefits contracts subject to the ERISA, which contain a discretionary clause, provide appropriate disclosure of the clause and additional provisions to assure a fair determination of contract benefits. What this says is What the intent of this amendment is to say that if you have an individual private policy, you can prohibit discretionary clauses. If the policy, and if it's a group policy that is non-ERISA, you could also do the same thing. You could prohibit the discretionary clause, or it is prohibited. But if it's an ERISA policy, any discretionary clause would be prohibited, it would have to have a disclosure. If the discretionary clause is in it, here's what it would have to say. And that's on the bottom of page 1 of the amendment. And this subparagraph B in the amendment would insert at page 4, line 8, that any group policy, contract, certificate, or agreement subject to ERISA and offered or issued in this state by a health carrier to provide, deliver, arrange for, pay for, or reimburse any of the costs of health care services, and which contains a provision purporting to reserve discretion to the health carrier to interpret the terms of the contract or to provide standards of interpretation or review, shall contain the following language, highlighted in bold and not less than 12-point type. And then you see that in the amendment, and it goes over to page 2 of the amendment. On page 2 of the amendment at line 2, there's language that says, by including this discretionary clause, insurer's name, agrees to allow a court to review its determinations anew when a claimant seeks judicial review of the determination of benefits. And then subparagraph C on page 2 of the amendment bolsters that language on line 2 through line 4. And it says that any group policy, contract, certificate, or agreement containing a discretionary clause, as authorized in subsection B, shall contain a provision entitling any person denied benefits in whole or in part to have the determination reviewed de novo in any court with jurisdiction. The words anew and de novo have the same meaning. That when a court reviews something de novo, they review it for the first time. And it would also, it also means that when the court reviews it in that manner, the standard of review is not arbitrary and capricious, it's a preponderance of the evidence. It's a contract standard. The reason there is the arbitrary and capricious standard in reviewing these claims now is that when Congress adopted ERISA, It indicated that ERISA had preempted state law. The courts who have construed other states' attempts to say that you can't have discretionary clauses, one court has said you can have a prohibition of discretionary clauses and you can change the standard of review if the language says both of those things. If you have a law or a regulation that simply says you can't have a discretionary clause, the Supreme Court has said ERISA preempts your state action. But other courts have said if you have a prohibition and you also say that the standard of review would be de novo or that the review would be de novo, so the standard would be lower, that's acceptable. Now, there are a variety of cases around this country that are still reviewing these types of actions. But the intent of my amendment is to say that because ERISA preempts state law, if we're going to have that preemption to deal with, and discretionary clauses are allowed in those policies, then let's say that the standard of review is de novo, so a claimant actually has a chance to achieve a review that would be more timely. The insurer would know, okay, well, I don't have it as easy as I had before when the claimant had to show it was arbitrary and and capricious. Now it's a preponderance of the evidence. It's more of a contractual question of whether it's in there or not. And is my interpretation of the policy as the insurer, does that, beyond a preponderance, would the court agree with me? And I think that that probably would influence an insurer when they're making the decisions they're making coverage decisions. The intent of the bill is to say you can prohibit discretionary clauses. I believe that the law, we need to be clearer in the bill to say if you're going to do that, or that because you can't do that in an ERISA policy, you're going to disclose it, and it'll be clear in the policy to the person who reads it, and that then the standard of review will be de novo and a preponderance. In the third reading amendment number 2, you can see language on the last line of the first page that goes over to line 6 of the second page. That language is not in third reading amendment number 1, but the language says that the reservation of discretion made under this provision only establishes the scope of review that a federal court will apply when a claimant seeks judicial review of insurers' names, determinations of eligibility of benefits, the payment of benefits, or interpretation of the terms and conditions applicable to the benefit plan. Does that mean to you that the standard of review is arbitrary and capricious? Because that's what it says. And that is the standard in the federal court. When you look at the language in third reading amendment number 1 on lines 2 through 4, it says, by including this discretionary clause, you agree to allow a court to review its determination anew. I think that's much clearer. And then when it's, and I don't know that any insured, unless they're a lawyer or someone who knows what de novo is, would know that that's an advantage to them as an insurer, as an insured, when it's being reviewed. I don't think that the other language in number 2, an average insured reading that wouldn't have any idea really what the substance of that meant. So that's the amendment, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, and I'd be happy to answer any questions. Okay.
Representative Throne.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I'm going to try and ask an intelligent question. Perhaps I'll succeed, perhaps I won't. I want to make sure that I understand the intent of the amendment. Is the intent to say that in those contracts which are governed by ERISA, that we only allow a de novo standard of review, but that the bill, if it went forward, would continue to ban discretionary clauses in non-ERISA contracts? And secondly, when do you have time to do this legal research? But that's sort of a gratuitous question. Thank you.
Representative Patton.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem. I realize we only get to talk twice, so I'll try to cover what is really the essence of this, and at the same time get the chair to rule that the engrossed copy, being the amendment number 2 and the amendment number 1, be combined for the purposes of our discussion and, if possible, a vote at the same time. Amendment number 1 is without authority without amendment number 2, as there's nothing there for amendment number 1 to hitch itself to. So having said that, let me, if I might, take the opportunity to suggest to you that there were 5 basic changes that were made here.
Representative Patton, I'd like to address your point of order that you asked.
And yes.
I think we have to discuss these amendments one at a time, and right now we're on amendment number 1. And I guess that wouldn't stop you from referring to
I move the adoption of my first time. I move the adoption of amendment number one.
Well, it has been moved already, but okay. Anybody else on number one? Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I think we're finally seeing an example of how when we get as a body to dealing with an element of health care reform, it becomes obfuscated because of our lack of knowledge and ability to understand what's being told to us. When one tries to look at the clear question of insurance and the fact that it is a pool to spread the risk, and the best spreading of the risk is if everyone's in the pool, ERISA, to my understanding, is one of the elements that makes it difficult for there to be a universal policy required by every state nationwide, a basic policy which has preventive care, whatever the definition of preventive care is, and sufficient coverage to give people an adequate coverage of health care. In that regard, let me ask you to think back to when you go and campaign and what issue folks talk to you about most. It may be health care. It may have the word insurance in it. People don't understand what's going on, but they know they're not being treated well. And I would suggest that this Senate File 62 is an attempt which has been thoroughly prepared and reviewed in the Senate and in two readings here to be worthy of passing and see what happens. If there's a huge legal problem, I'm sure we'll find out very quickly. So I encourage you to defeat both or all three of these amendments which are in front of us today so that you can talk to your constituents and say, we had an opportunity to deal with the insurance issue, and we did. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I raised just to seek some clarification on the amendment. It refers to policies that are covered under ERISA. And my question is whether or not policies that are not covered under ERISA that have a discretionary clause are also going to be required to have the highlighted and bold language. That is, will a person who has a policy that is not under ERISA also have the opportunity of taking an insurance company to court and having a decision rendered on the same standards?
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I rise in strong support of this. I wish we had thought of it in committee. This is it's we do a lot of amendments throughout the day, and a lot of long ones come out here, and this is one to remember for the whole session. It borders on brilliant. It here's why. Just to make sure everyone understands what this is doing, and we discussed this a lot in committee, that ERISA, we normally can't touch those because those are feds. That's the federal government. We can't touch what ERISA is doing. And so that's why within both the bill we just saw a little while ago and this bill, we had all these exceptions for ERISA and said if you're doing it under ERISA, we have no say. But what the speaker has found is some case law that is saying, listen, we're not touching the discretionary clause. All we're saying is we're going to put this little statement in your contract. So when you sign it, you can read it. And it's going to say, listen, we're going to let you go de novo. And if you remember from the conversation the other day, and you're going to see this in the amendment about to come up, because the two amendments are completely juxtaposed. What the speaker is saying is completely anew. What the next amendment is saying, no, we're going to go back to arbitrary and capricious. And remember, again, what arbitrary and capricious means. A better way of remembering that is, were they crazy? that's the best way of describing it, what that standard means. That when they did the claim, that they looked at the claim and they said, you know, on every Tuesday we deny those and on Wednesdays we do allow them. That's the only way you would ever win, if you were able to prove that they were doing something crazy like that. But any other decision, the court has to. The court doesn't even have the ability. They have to side with the insurance company if it's an arbitrary and capricious standard. Well, all this is saying is, we're going to put this in your contract and say, listen, if you're under an ERISA, so if you're under the federal ERISA, we're going to say, you're going to go to court, and we're actually going to look at the facts. We're going to look at the truth. You're going to state your case. The insurance company is going to state their case. Everybody's on equal ground, and the judge makes a decision. Nobody walks into court with an advantage, as it is today, where the insurance company has a huge advantage because they're using the arbitrary and capricious standard. So I would urge you to vote aye on this amendment. This is just fascinating that this case law exists. And so I would urge you to vote aye.
Anybody else for the first time? For the second time? Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I never make any claim of brilliance or take any credit for such a gift, but I can listen and try to address concerns, and I think that's what this amendment does. And thankfully, we have a great staff that can help answer really difficult questions in a short period of time. The bill still bans discretionary clauses in non-ERISA plans. So if it's an individual plan or it's a group plan that's non-ERISA, it is prohibited. A discretionary clause is prohibited in the bill. With an ERISA plan, the bill allows discretionary clauses with the disclosure that's in the amendment. And it's you see what the disclosure says. And then with that disclosure comes the change of the standard, the de novo review and the preponderance rather than arbitrary and capricious. One court has said that if there is only a disclosure, there is federal preemption. So if all this amendment said was you have to disclose this without changing the standard, it would be preempted. Another court said if a discretionary clause is prohibited, there is no preemption. Another court have said if there is both the disclosure and the recognition of a different standard, there's no preemption, or there is no preemption. But what this bill does is simply say, if you're going to preempt under ERISA, you have to disclose it clearly, and there's a different standard of review, and I think that's appropriate. Thank you.
Okay. Calling the question on third reading amendment number one to Senate file 62. All those in the sponsor has already gone for this. Sorry. Calling the question, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Third reading amendment number two. Representative Patton.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, thank you. Actually, the bill, the amendment, and now the bill have been pretty well explained. And I'm dazzled by the brilliance.
Representative Patton, could you
I move the adoption of amendment number two.
Thank you.
Dazzled by the brilliance on the one hand and accused of wanting to gut the bill on the other, every time that I had to gut something another, it drew blood. Now, I assure you, it's not our intent to draw blood. If you would look at the amendment number two, you'll see the body of what has been discussed previously. But I just need, without belaying all of this, to suggest to you that what we're doing is we're adopting a discretionary ban. Discretionary ban is a part in the heart. Page 1, line 4,
page 2, line 8. Page 2, line 8, please note, not subject to the Federal Employee Retirement Income Security Act. So the discretionary clause is banned in all health contracts, private individuals, as well as group individuals not subject to ERISA. This plan, as it was designed and developed in the form that you see it, was actually the approach that has been used successfully in Utah, and that was done by insurance regulations. So those of you that have a desire to be first, this is a first of having this kind of a ban and this kind of a provision in our statutes. We have separated individual health insurance policies from group insurance health policies, and specifically, we have provided an exemption for ERISA, who will preempt us, the requirements and group policies are still in place. The clause does not, the description clause does not prohibit or prevent the insured from seeking judicial review in the court, and that's been elaborated on by the Speaker. The reservation of discretion only established the scope of review related to the insurer's decisions and benefits of eligibility. And as a result, what we have done is to make this bill workable, fair, and a bill that can be in statute form administrated with pride by our state as being one of the first to be able to do this. And I would want to add that in spite of what the group might think of insurance companies, they did participate in the drafting of this measure. And with that, I move the adoption and will stand for questions relative to the amendment.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, on and against third reading amendment number 2. Again, that language on page 1, line 43, over to line 6 on page 2. That's the language that continues preemption and the arbitrary and capricious standard. I think I can, it's down to this. If there is preemption, you have the arbitrary and capricious standard. If, as in third reading amendment number 1, there is a disclosure and a requirement for the de novo review, there is no preemption. So without preemption, you have a different standard. And I think we need to stick with third reading amendment number 1. Thank you.
Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I agree with the Speaker's conclusion, and my attempt to speak earlier was to try to clarify in my mind when he was referring to the bill. I believe he was referring to the First Amendment, and I apologize for not understanding that, but I think that the First Amendment is appropriate, the Second is not, and we should just continue to take one small step, and this is the first one, significant one I have seen. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else for the first time? Anybody else for their second time? Calling the question, all those in favor of third reading amendment number 2, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion. Third reading amendment number 2 has failed to Senate File 62. Now, third reading amendment number 3, Representative Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move third reading amendment number 3 and will withdraw it at the appropriate time. Several times in listening to the debate this morning, I've heard concerns about the uncertainty of cost with this bill and with 95 as well. And every time I hear that, it raises my anxiety level on what we're doing. Because we have seen in the past is every time we increase the cost of insurance, the number of people who are insured goes down. So then we try to come back in and backfill with some type of uncompensated care proposal because people don't have another way of they don't have insurance. And that if something costs quite a bit is they don't have the resources to cover themselves, and so that's my primary concern about this. Is that this proposal has come up during the session like this, and it seems to me like this is something that would have been a lot better to have had come during the interim. We hear in the Labor Committee and Health Committee a lot of talk on trying to control the cost of health care. That's very hard to do when you have a third party paying. And now we have a third party paying, and they are going to have to live exactly by the contract that they have. And I would advocate that what that's going to do is it's actually going to put more of more problems into the pipeline, because the only way that they can control healthcare costs is either to ration how much coverage they provide or to deny it. And I can't help but think that if it is not in that contract specifically, that insurance companies will have to deny that in order to have some control on their cost so that they can continue to sell insurance policies for a reasonable premium. I know we have good intentions with this, but I just don't feel for myself and that we have enough information to make the kind of decision that's going to be affecting people across the state and their ability to buy insurance. So I would like us to defeat this bill and send it into some interim work and see how this fits in with trying to control the cost of health care, whether this is a useful tool or whether we have unintended consequences that are really going to hurt the people in Wyoming.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I had reservations about this piece of legislation in committee, and I guess after seeing the last amendment, I kept asking myself, and perhaps I wasn't asking the right people, why do we have to do something as drastic as taking out all discretionary clauses? Why can't we adopt some language that would add some protection for the insured? And then here on third reading, we come up with language that allows discretionary clauses in ERISA, but raises the level from arbitrary and capricious to de novo. And I guess that's the answer I was looking for all along. And so I'm even more troubled now by this bill. And based on this third reading amendment, I'm going to be a no vote on this bill.
Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, as I said before, this is a real important item and a real important question that is finally before you in some form. You cannot control medical costs until you have a manageable system of health care delivery, and we don't have that. And most of the players in the system now are quite happy with the status quo. And to delay this specific question through another interim session is sending it to Never Never Land once again. I urge you to support the bill and defeat this amendment should it be retained. Support the bill. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would encourage you to support this bill. I'm not an attorney. What it says to me clearly is that if an insurance company makes a contract, that they are required to stand by that contract, and they don't have a bunch of tricky legal mumble jumble that will allow them to, those of us who have insurance, are fortunate enough to have insurance, are paying those premiums and expect that service. and to find out on the operating table that, oops, we've decided that we've changed the rules, I think that's just not the right way to go, and I am encouraged by this movement. Please support it.
Representative Bonner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. And I need to make a disclosure to the body, and I will make the disclosure now, and I will declare the conflict at the time of voting. But it's my understanding I'm able to speak on the bill. I am a member of the Board of Directors of Blue Cross Blue Shield, and I state that openly before I make these comments. We want, because there are lots of difficult decisions made in submitting claims and deciding on claims, very difficult, but we tend to portray the insurance company as the bad guy, and it is not necessarily the bad guy. Insurers have a fiduciary responsibility to their members to appropriately administer insurance contracts, and that means saying no sometimes. As well as saying yes, it means saying no. The rates that you and I pay demand that, absolutely demand that, because insurers have that fiduciary responsibility to members. Yesterday, there was circulated on the floor of the House a sample of a, and it was described as an discretionary clause in an actual policy. It was unnamed, didn't say who it was. Well, let me read to you, just very briefly, what the discretionary clause in a Blue Cross Blue Shield policy is. It says simply this: Blue Cross Blue Shield of Wyoming, as a fiduciary or plan administrator of this health insurance agreement, may exercise in good faith any discretionary authority or discretionary control respecting the management of the operation and administration of this health insurance plan in accordance with the provisions of this agreement. What that says basically is that the company reserves the right to interpret the contract in good faith. If the dispute over a claim does go to court, yes, deference is given to the company because of this statement. Unless, and this is important, unless it can be reasonably demonstrated that the insurer did not act appropriately under the terms of the contract. This clause does not prevent a consumer from accessing the legal system if the insurer indeed acted inappropriately. Now, here's my concern and here's my fear that passage of this act could make any determination by an insurance company more subject to court review, judicial review, and is going to add to by that litigation cost, is going to add to the cost of insurance for Wyoming contract holders without any better health care. For that, and I am not able to vote, but I wanted to make those statements, Speaker Pro Tem, and thank you.
And Representative Bonner, normally we would declare a conflict on first reading. That's what the rules say, but you can do it at any time that you realize you have a conflict. And Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to weigh in on this debate since I also had the opportunity to work in this industry for some time, and I know all of us have heard the stories, and I was one of the many of us that went out and heard the stories, and there are many difficult ones, and the question that the good chairman of labor brought up about costs and what it's going to do to Wyoming was something that I asked. I'm sure many of you asked that question when you were spoken to, and the answer was, you know, they've seen a small increase, 2-3%. And I know that this movement is spreading across the United States. Most of the states that have done it are large states, to our east, very large states, to our west, very large states. And 2-3% can be absorbed fairly easily. But, you know, this is my second term, and I know we hear so much about health care. Health care is a huge issue in Wyoming. And that's my great concern about this is, are we, you know, how are we going to absorb 3%? Because that is what is going to happen. That's a guarantee. This bill passes, the governor signs it. 3% of the bottom people who hold insurance today will not hold insurance tomorrow. Gone. Because the bottom line is the bottom line with small business owners, with people who have individual policies. Oftentimes it's the bottom line. And I don't know how many of you, and I'm guilty, I've not gone out. I'm very, very blessed to be insured in a group policy. But I don't know how many of you have been out onto the marketplace and looked at how many companies actually offer insurance in this state. It isn't a huge long list. It's a fairly small list for numerous reasons. Some of it being the pool of people, the number of people. There's all kinds of reasons. I was a medical underwriter. So I have real concerns about how well this state is going to absorb that 3% and what it's going to do to those who carry insurance today and may not tomorrow. Now, I want to touch on, you know, the stories and the idea of the contract, and insurance companies need to stand by that contract, and that's a thought we would all have, obviously. But I think we've had the good representative from up north who practices in this field speak about medicine is not a static thing. It's a moving target. It's constantly moving. Research is happening. Things are happening. So when you're in a business, and of course all these insurance companies are private businesses, when you're in that business and you're writing contracts, you're writing a contract for a field that's constantly changing. And you might have a contract that's a 1 or 2 year contract. And then things change. The medical services that are offered may well change. And so someone goes in and heaven forbid has a horrible disease and goes forward and they find out that they could possibly have this experimental process or something like that. The insurance company needs that ability to say, well, wait a minute. And, you know, if we do this, and I'm very ambivalent about the bill, but if we do this, obviously it's a private industry. They will roll with the punches. Absolutely. I mean, they'll roll with the punches. There's many ways they can decrease your lifetime maximum. Right now in my policy, it's $1 million. They could make it $500,000. They'll offer less products. So your small business owners, when they sit down each year and want to do the right thing by those small business owners or employees, and they want to offer coverage, they're going to have less policies to choose from. They're going to maybe have 2 choices instead of 4. And it might not be the 2 choices that they can afford. And so they'll just say, I'm sorry to their employees. I would like to do the right thing, but we just can't. The bottom line is we just can't do this for you. So it more than likely will change the number of options that our small business owners are going to have, could change the lifetime maximum, could change the length of the contract. Okay, we'll roll with the punches, so let's just give you a 6-month contract. I mean, there's lots of ways that this could work itself out. I just wanted you all to be aware of that, because I agree with the previous speaker. It's so easy to demonize a private industry and say that, you know, it's horrible and these are terrible stories. And there's a lot more considerations that we have to make here. And I hear so much about healthcare and the issues of healthcare. We're a small state with a small population. And that's the only thing that really troubles me. Thank you.
Representative Bagby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is not the time to be the paragon of prudence. I stand against this amendment and for the bill. Mr. Chairman, cancer can't wait. I ask you this. What if you have paid into an insurance policy for 20 years, and then a member of your family comes down with cancer? What would you do? How would you feel? You've paid into this policy for 20 years. And then you go to your insurance company and you have maybe a new, maybe you have a new policy and procedure that will maybe save your loved one. And your insurance company says, no, this procedure is not in the contract. It's not in the policy. We're not going to pay it. So what do you do? Think about it. You've already spent thousands and thousands of dollars in medical costs. Are you going to just throw your hands up in the air and say, oh, well, I'll go get a lawyer and I'll sue the insurance company? By that time, you're probably so broke that you'll be lucky if you can pay next month's light bill. I think as far as insurance companies will come. Insurance companies are in the business to make money. So if some of these insurance companies don't like this discretionary clause, maybe they should go to another state, because insurance companies will come. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Peasley. Peasley, sorry.
Close enough. It's all right, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Forgive yourself and move on. I have to speak on this particular bill and the amendments. I've supported the first one that went through, and I haven't received anybody telling me to resist the other one. But I've heard a lot said, and when we characterize arbitrary and capricious as always meaning crazy, is in and of itself, I think, crazy, because we have a cottage industry in the legal profession that handles bad faith litigation, and that does very well. It isn't as if we're left without recourse. And the good representative from District Number 16 talked about us going out, and he's correct. We go about our people and talk to them and talk to the constituents, and they tell us, oh, yes, I have concerns about my health care. And I said, and to say that we don't have a manageable system of health care is disingenuous. Compared to what? Utopia? I mean, we have the best health care system in the gall darn world. I have a daughter that comes over from the Occident every year with her three little niños, and they come from a system of socialized medicine, and she just drools at what we have here. And if we're going to keep driving the insurance companies into oblivion, the objective is to eventually have single payer, or what we like to sometimes call socialized medicine. And then you're going to be dealing with bureaucrats, and then you'll wonder where your discretionary clause is and where your trial lawyers are. You're not going to have them. I don't think that this particular one is good. And to say that we did 95, and I think that was necessary, but we can't build policy on sad stories. And to say we paid for insurance for 20 years, and now we've got something uncovered, when it's something new and innovative, is not always something we should say we're being denied. I paid for 20 years on an insurance policy, never received a dime for it. I had it there as backup. I understand that. I had to go to Colorado, or the state to the south, to get my coverage, but I did get it. I think that we have to, if we're going to come here and fix the healthcare system, and we're going to do something, we better be darn well capable of explaining to our constituents what we did. And I dare to say that not 10% of the members of this body have gone out and negotiated a private contract for their insurance coverage. And I'll tell you this, I am now being told that I can go out and negotiate my private contract for my coverage, but I can't tell my insurance carrier, I can't say, hey, how much cheaper can I get this insurance if we put a discretionary clause in it? You're telling me I can't even negotiate that now. I can't go out and be told that, well, without the discretionary clause in it, it's going to cost $2,000 a month. And I can't say, well, how much can I get it down if I leave that in there? Because I happen to think the arbitrary and capricious level is appropriate. You won't even let me negotiate that. And then, of course, we're going to fall back on the consumer's too stupid to read these contracts. Well, I hate to tell you, I don't know anybody that could read one of these contracts and understand it, but I do know this. If I'm informed and I want to negotiate a provision in my contract, I still don't understand your obsession or our obsession with telling me I can't. So I'm glad I voted for Senate Bill number 95, and I'm going to vote against 62. Thank you.
Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'd like to talk a little bit, not about specific incidents or anything else, I'd like to talk about what we do here. And you know, we've heard a lot about health insurance, and we've heard a lot about the things that have gone on, and we've had all these discussions for forever now. And every year we come down here and make changes to existing legislation. And usually these changes are driven by new information that we've discovered or by an unexpected consequence of some legislation we've previously passed. Health insurance is one of these issues, really any insurance, but health insurance is what we're really talking about right now, is one of these issues that we've really never ventured out into very much because it is unknown. And I look at this as one of those steps out there. And if we pass this bill, and there's something wrong with this bill, we'll be down here next year, and we'll deal with it like we've dealt with child abuse, drunk drivers, property subdivisions. Over and over, these things happen. So I'm against the amendment and on the bill, and let's move right along. Thank you.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow legislators, I certainly rise against the amendment and for the bill. We've heard a lot of discussion, a lot of debate. I think having our amendment number one that we passed by this body strengthened the bill. It leveled the playing field for us as the consuming public. You think of the constituents, you have about 8,500 in each one of your respective districts. There's some kind of medical provisions that are out there. This allows them to have a more sense of security, even though they may not realize they're on unsecure ground with these discretionary clauses. This will strengthen their position. It puts trust. It puts confidence. And I don't think it's going to destroy the insurance industry. The amount of financial impacts this may have, I think, is very small compared to the confidence and trust that you're going to have with the insurance industry. And as just pointed out, none of this legislation is final. In the years that I've served in this body, it will come back for review. If there's something that needs to be fixed, this is a step in the right direction against the amendment for the bill.
Okay, anybody else for the first time? Or the second time, Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I wanted to make sure that everyone understood what I said earlier. I am in favor of the amendment now, and I am opposed to the bill. I just believe we came in here on third reading, and for federal employees that fall under ERISA, we allowed them to retain discretionary clause and fixed the level of evidence that it took so that the insurer and the claimant were on a more level playing field. So we allowed the claimant to become a better participant with keeping the discretionary clause in. That was the type of fix that I was looking for all along for all of our policies. So now we have a bill where we're going to prohibit discretionary clauses for everything but ERISA, but the people that have ERISA will still be on a more level playing field. And I was looking for a solution that was not all or nothing. This bill is all or nothing for the rest of us, so I am on and opposed to the bill. Thank you.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'm one of the few people who have gone out shopping for personal insurance, not having been covered by any employer or having any employees to cover. And I can tell you that for a couple of our age and in our condition, that cost was pushing $15,000 a year. So when I sign a kind of a contract that says I'm going to be forking over something in excess of $1,200 a month, I fully expect that the details of that contract are going to be exactly what it says on the sheet of paper and that there is no tricky way out at the bottom of the sheet.
Anybody else for the second time? Representative Bagby.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In a perfect world, you wouldn't need courts. You wouldn't need lawyers. But if the insurance companies would honor their policies, that's why you have to have courts and that's why you have to have lawyers. Yes, we have one of the best health care systems in the world. And one thing that I like about our health care system is they're always experimenting. They're finding new treatments. They're finding new medicine. They're finding cancer treatments that will save people's lives. And that's why I'm in favor of this bill.
Representative Edmonds.
Thank you. Just a clarification. We had a little discussion in our group area, and I wanted to make sure, because I didn't hear anybody get up and ask the question, and I'm sure you all probably know it, so I'm just being redundant. But for those who aren't aware, ERISA is a group policy. So any group policy, it's a federal mandate, but it's for group policies. Individual policyholders would not be covered under ERISA.
Anybody else for their second time? Representative Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. You know, it was said that this was an important issue, and I can't agree more. But it never has been scrutinized, to my recollection. This is the first time we've seen this bill, to my recollection, and it never has been sent to an interim committee as a research project. I want to appreciate the concerns that an insurance company wouldn't pay. You know, the example is given of paying for a number of years and then a health care crisis comes up and a person would be denied. I'm afraid that's exactly what's going to happen with this mandate. It was said that the details of the contract would be only those that are exactly what's written. And that's the part that gives me the most pause. I think that by denying a discretionary clause, we actually hurt the consumer. Because just then, just the details of what's in the contract can be enforced and that can actually be in the favor of an insurance company in my mind. You know, we have a fragile system. The trends from the Department of Employment over the years, the surveys that they show a decline almost every year of the amount of the insurance policies that employers are able to offer because of increased costs. That's not all due to mandates on policies and that sort of thing. But every time the cost goes up, people are just not able to afford it. I just don't want us to have a false sense of security by passing that. And Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I'd like to end with just a few ideas that was sent to me by a doctor who also happens to be involved with the Wyoming Healthcare Commission. He says, more often than not, discretionary clauses in insurance contracts work in the patient's favor. As a medical director trying to make decisions in a patient's best interest, I often place patients in case management to expand benefits beyond the explanation of coverage. Extra visits or services are sometimes granted to individual patients depending on clinical circumstances. He feels that it's important that on coverage decisions that there's enough flexibility allowed for new research and information, and that without having that flexibility, that we actually hurt the consumer instead of helping them. And I withdraw the amendment at this time. I appreciate all the thought and consideration that the body's given into it, on and against the bill.
Thank you. Senate File 62, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass the House? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Conflict.
Bonner conflict. Brechtel. Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Bird excused. Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers. Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
No.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
No.
Lockhart excused. Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
No.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
No.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Steward.
No.
Stubson. Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 46 ayes, 11 noes, 2 excused, 1 confirmed.
Senate File 62, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 62 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move that the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
Representative Illaway. Chairman Illaway.
I think we have a motion on the floor. Do that first.
Yeah. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Now, Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet right now in House 18. We'll discuss Senate File 26, Engrossed, Voter Registration Deadline, Senate File 28, Licensing of Entertainment Activities, Senate File 12, Campaign Contributions, and Senate File 94, Engrossed, Campaign Finance Reporting Election Periods.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet upon adjournment this evening and finish up Senate File 107, Court Supervised Treatment Programs Act.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet tomorrow morning, February the 20th, at 8 a.m., and to consider Senate File 48, Engrossed, Game and Fish Landowner Coupons Redemption Period, and Senate File 87, Wolf, Brucellosis Testing.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your conference committee on Senate File 8 will meet immediately upon adjournment today in S-15.
Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet 15 minutes upon adjournment this evening, that is Thursday, February 19th, in room H-17, to discuss Senate File 74, Youthful Drivers Restricted Licenses, Senate File 90, Engrossed, Unemployment Insurance, Spouse of Deployed Military, and Senate File 98, Engrossed, Fines for Speeding Trucks.
Representative Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet tomorrow upon noon recess in H-10, where we will take up Senate File 89, Engrossed, Fallen Heroes Endowments.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The conference committee appointed to consider Senate File 21, subdivisions located within irrigation districts, will meet today upon adjournment in Senate Education Room S-11. And your labor committee number 10 will meet tomorrow afternoon at noon to consider Senate File 24, healthcare reform demonstration project.
And that clears the desk. Yes. The House is adjourned until 2 p.m.